do me a favor, stay there because I want to go to Lorraine as well. So, Lorraine, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Lorraine. What do you want to say?
I don't agree that every rank and file should have a gun. I personally don't. I think maybe have one or two from each Garda station that can respond, as you said, to the likes of the shoot up in Donegal. That you have someone in the Garda station itself that's trained with guns, can deal with that situation. But I don't think every rank and file should have one. I wouldn't like to see, if I was walking down Grafton Street or I wouldn't Henry Street, I wouldn't like to see a guard with a handgun or ratting on their hip. But if there's one, say, in the Garda station that's trained on it, that can leave that Garda station straight away, that I agree with. I wouldn't personally feel safe with them on the street.
But when you have an incident, let's say in Henry Street, and you're walking down Henry Street, and there's an incident, or there's a stabbing, or a shooting, or somebody robs a shop, or whatever it is, by the time this special person gets from Store Street Police Station or Pier Street Police Station, you know, that's 30 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, if you're lucky. Whereas if there's an officer on the beat, you know, and he happens to be armed, well, he'd be there in minutes. Is that not really the answer?
To me personally, no. I just think it'll end up being us against, like, not us, but like gangsters against the guards. All of the guards have guns. There's guns. There's always going to be guns. But the gangsters have guns.
They have better guns than the guards ever have.
To me, I wouldn't feel safe knowing that the guards have guns. As I said, if they had someone in the police station, perfect. I just think if the guards are armed, as Morris pointed out, like, that guard happened to be been kicked to the ground and they had taken the gun off him. There's another gun in.
They got a pen now.
Sorry.
He had the gun in youngster's hands.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of way. I don't see how guns are the answer. More guards on the street, 100%, I totally agree with. If you can get more guards on the street, you'll have body cams maybe, tasers, that type of stuff. I don't want Ireland to become like America or
But here's the thing. Ireland, sadly, and I regret to say this, is changing. This is not, I mentioned at the start of the show, this is not dancing around the crossroads in the 1960s anymore, you know, where the worst thing you'd see is two fellas giving each other a box in the middle of the street. This is a very dangerous Ireland. It's becoming a more dangerous Ireland. And sometimes you have to fight fire with fire.
But putting more guns out on the street, I know guards would have them, but as I said, what happens if that guard gets overtaken? Like, you pointed out the other day. But what happens if that gun is gone then? Or what happens if someone raids a guarded shot or guarded police station and takes the guns? You're adding more guns.
There's loads of what ifs there, Lorraine, and I get you. And they're all genuine risks. But, you know, other countries have to deal with those risks that have an armed police force. We're one of the very few countries in the world that doesn't have an armed police force. And that's been a great thing up to now. It's worked really well for us. But we can see now that it's not working anymore. We can see now our population is changing. We can see now there's a lot more dangerous people in society. We can see now that people are carrying guns, illegal guns, or knives, or whatever it happens to be. You know, we're seeing more random attacks. We're seeing it's not as safe. People don't feel as safe. So what are we going to do about it? We can't just continue down the road we're going at the moment and come up with stupid hate speech laws thinking that's going to be the answer, because it's not the answer.
That's the most stupid thing ever.
Let's bring in laws against hurty words, just in case, you know what I mean?
But that's the best
our government can come up with at the moment, because, you know, they just want to deflect, you know what I mean?
They're just as bad.
Oh, no, they're a bunch of Muppets. The whole lot of them should resign. They're a bunch of Muppets, the whole lot of them.
And that got proved on Thursday.
Yeah.
The whole lot of them should just piss off and leave. But would they not add more guards to this? Like, as you said, you haven't seen as many guards in your life as you did on Saturday on Grafton Street.
It was wonderful to see.
Can they not add more guards then to the street? Can they not add, as Morris said, what about the people that
But they're
are
trying, but nobody wants to be a guard. You know what I mean? That's the problem. Mm. Nobody, because it's not a Garda force to be proud of at the moment when you've got 98% have no faith or no confidence in the chief of police or the commissioner. So realistically, it's not a Garda force that has good morale. So people are not really looking to join it. The pay is not great when you're starting off, for example. There's loads of problems. So
it just needs, the whole Garda force needs to be shook up. The whole, to get rid of, I can't think of what his name is.
Drew Harris. He has to go.
Fucking bonkers when you're listening to him. Even listening to him on Friday after the riots, and you're listening to him going, oh my God, shut up, you haven't a clue. You sat in Mountjoy Garda station and didn't go down. It's like, the whole thing needs to be shook up. But to me personally, I wouldn't feel safe if they all had guards, or guns, sorry.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there, Lorraine, for a second. Let me go to Sandy as well. Sandy, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going? May I ask, what is that lady caller's name
Lorraine.
Again?
Lorraine.
Lorraine, hiya, how are you? I'm good, love. I just wanted to disagree on one comment that you made there that about the guns. You were saying that it was okay for a guard to have a gun in the station, but not out the street. Now, what was the point in a guard having a gun in the station when he can't use it for his own protection out in the street? It's not the guns that... No, but what I'm saying, Lorraine, is it's not the guns that kill the people, it's the person that's actually using it. Do you understand where I'm coming from there?
I understand that 100%.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying 100%. You've got the gangsters that are going to go out and kill people in any way. No, what I was saying was have someone trained in every Garda station that can leave the Garda station and go out if that's with a gun that can be trained. I just don't want to see every rank and file having one.
I suppose, Sandy, what she's suggesting is what we currently have is the ERU, or the Emergency Response Unit, but there should be more of those and a few of those in every police station.
Yeah, right. But I don't know about police training throughout the whole police corps, right? I presume that they do all get trained on this kind of thing of, you know, in the defence unit, right? But in my own opinion, right, the training isn't there, but the Minister for,
Justice.
Yes, thank you. My head is gone today.
You're talking about Helen McEntee, who should resign, by the way, but go on, yeah.
She turned around and said that there was no money for bring up the guards' wages, right? But yet, she wants to bring in the body cams and
the facial recognition cameras and the hate speech laws. Yeah.
So basically, she's contradicting herself, right? Okay. But you see, I would, you know, when a guard is out in the street with a gun, I would actually say to myself, it's great, because I would know that I'm being safe. Sorry, my head is all
Yeah, yeah, let me do a little bit of whataboutery here. We spent $5 million this year bringing Ukrainian people's dogs to Ireland, right? Now, I'm not saying people's dogs are not important to them, but repatriating people's pets for Ukrainian people who are living here. $5 million.
Yeah.
Five bloody million. How many police cars would that have purchased? How many body cams would it have purchased? How many guns, if we needed guns, would that purchase? Plenty. Yeah. So what I'm saying is we need to spend money properly and not waste it and squander it on stupid stuff.
The money is there. The money is there. It's like, right. Do you remember when I was talking to you before about the Gardaí station in the Athlone area?
Oh, yeah. It's been transformed into a drugs unit now. Yeah.
Yeah, but now the new thing is that they want to close that down and actually cover, get the Gardaí in Meath to actually cover Westmeath as well. So I'm going to say it as it is. I don't actually care if the people of Athlone hear what I say, because it is the truth. There's an awful amount of drugs going on in the Athlone area. A lot of people will agree with me. Could you imagine when that Garda station isn't there? Mm-hmm. What is the town going to be like now? This town is crawling with it.
With a population of 21,000, yeah.
Yeah, 21,000. Could you imagine? It's that cat. Sorry, I have a cat.
Yeah, I know. And you'd be looking for a guard to come, and they'd have to come from Meath to get over there. Yeah, it'd be absolutely ridiculous. I get that.
I'm the same where I am.
Yeah.
Where I am in Kinnegad, we're the same. We only have one Garda station, and not many of them sit at it. Like,
how far away is the Garda station, Tilly?
From my actual house?
Yeah.
About 10 minutes, but my partner got knocked down and it took them 2 days to get to the house.
2 days?
2 days. He got knocked down and it took them 2 days to arrive to my house.
God. Stay there for a second, Tony. We'll be with you in a minute. I want to go to Mr. Hogan. Mr. Hogan, hi, how are you?
No, thank you for having me on
it. I find it quite bizarre that I'm calling you Mr. Hogan, but there you go.
Look, I just want to bring up some points that I think haven't been brought up. So far in this whole conversation, no one has actually heard from the Gardaí. Now, I'm not a guard myself, but I have family in the guards. I know a lot of guards. I chat with them. None of them want guns. They all say, like, they're not action man running around shooting up the place like toy soldiers. They don't want to go home one day and say, I accidentally shot, you know, someone... either by mistake or by, you know, the bullet ricocheted or whatever. No one wants that on them. They're all terrified of it. You know, they'd never know, is it a good time to draw my gun? Because if I shoot, you know, accidentally.
But they'd be trained to do that. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Go so far, like, you've got to make a split second decision, and this happens in America every day. Someone is running at them or running away from them, or they turn around and it looks like they're bringing their gun up. You've got to make a decision in literally one.
America is not the ideal example. I mentioned that earlier on. In America, you're well aware, as a police officer in America, you're conscious of the fact that most citizens have a gun.
Everyone has guns.
Yeah. Whereas in Ireland, you wouldn't be conscious of that. Most people don't have guns. So the only reason for the gun in Ireland, similar to the PSNI and the UK, would be as a deterrent.
Yeah, but it's not going to deter them. I mean, you've got cases in every country that they have cops with guns. You get some, you know, say gangsters or some drunk kids even, and they go up and say, hey, let's try nick that gun off a guard. And it's incredibly stupid, but they still want to go about it. And sometimes they do end up being shot, which, you know, no guard wants that. And no family wants to say, oh, our little Sally was acting a bit drunk and got shot by a guard. You know, no one wants that either. And it's just going to be a disaster. Now, another point I wanted to bring up is the cost involved to the Garda force of having guns. Right? So cost to guess, how many guards do we have? 20-something thousand, 30,000 guards?
No, well, we haven't. 13,000.
Sorry, 13,000, right.
Yeah.
So if you want to guess guns and ammo...
We should have 20,000.
Yeah, we should, you're right. If you want to get guns and ammo out all them, you need gun safes in the each police station. The cost, it goes up exponentially.
But the cost is irrelevant because we spend money stupidly on lots of other things as well. So what I'm saying is the cost shouldn't ever be a factor. We have the money. We're a wealthy country.
You could spend that money better. Like, that would be...
Where? Spend better where? In education, healthcare, all those things.
More Gardaí. Just the same more Gardaí.
We have enough money to do that too. We have enough money to do that as well. We're a wealthy country.
Yeah, well, it seems like... You know, there's lots of things we should be spending our money on, we're not. So one of them would be not spending our money on guns and spending it elsewhere. I think that would definitely be a good point for us. Another thing you mentioned about America, and, you know, while I'm not advocating for everyone having guns, but only the gun murders, the gun incidents are happening in only two or three of the really big cities. You know, there's Detroit and Chicago and New York, I think.
Well, Chicago is the murder capital of America. Yeah, but go on.
The strictest gun laws going,
yeah,
and it's just a very small subset of gangsters and drug dealers and whatnot. There's huge swathes of America, millions of people live in these areas with, again, millions of guns, but they have a lower rate of gun incidents than a European city that has no guns. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's not the guns that are the issue; it's always going to be the type of people who get their hands on them. And that's just a point to do with.
Now what about tasers then? Do you think they should have a taser?
Okay, tasers. Again, have you used a taser?
No, I've never used one, no.
No, I've used a taser, I've used handguns, I've used shotguns. You know, in various.
I've fired shotguns because I have a marksman certificate, so I have fired shotguns.
Well done, you. But most people have this idea of pepper spray, you know, and you can use that instead of a gun. What do you do if it's windy and it blows the pepper right back in your face? Stun guns, they're putting a strong electric current through someone's body. Now, it has happened before that you hit someone
with a heart condition.
And they have, if you have hairspray, it'll just set that on fire. And then you're liable for, you know, grievous bodily harm.
I've seen people being hit with stun guns, older people particularly, and they fall to the ground and smack their head off the ground. They're dead.
Yeah, and they die.
I know. But here's the thing. Generally speaking, people are not stunned with a stun gun or tasers or any of those things, unless they're doing something wrong, generally.
Okay, well... Let's go back and look at another case. When would a Garda use a gun, right? So you said if the Garda had guns during the riots on Thursday, how many people would be shot?
I don't think anybody would have been shot. I would like to think with good training, nobody would be shot. Okay. Because you should never use a gun in a situation like that. You should never produce a gun unless the perpetrator or the person you're trying to, you know, stop has a gun or is a threat to you in some way.
Yeah, but again, what if there's lads throwing bricks and bottles and bins and everything at the Gardaí, and he gets intimidated and he says, if I don't draw my gun, someone is going to hit me. He draws his gun, and again, someone comes up close to him and says, I have to shoot this guy. Bang. You're going to get those incidents. You can't ignore that's going to happen.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Mr. Hogan. Let me go to Tony as well. Tony's been waiting ages. I do apologise, Tony. Everybody's waiting ages to say there's so many people. Sorry, Tony, go ahead.
It's definitely...
Tony, are you there? I can't really hear you, Tony. Yeah. You're going to have to put your phone close to your mouth there. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Tony, we've lost
you. Okay, no,
I'd hate to cut you short after you waiting for so long, but it's just, unfortunately, we can't hear you when you whatever you're doing with your phone.
Right, like, is that any better?
Yeah, go ahead. Go on.
Right. First and foremost, I don't think they should be armed. Then, it's nothing to do with money, Niall. Yeah, but just like the country is awash with money. Oh. You still able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, fine. Like, the country is awash with money, Niall. We have billions to set aside for one thing or another. That's totally irrelevant to Irish people. I was speaking to the two guards yesterday. I was walking in the city yesterday, and there was a male and a female guardess. And I asked them about just the likelihood of this incident happening again, which happened to the children last week. And they says, oh, no, it's not going to happen again. I asked them for to put it on a scale of a percentage, like of the chances of it happening again. And they said zero.
No. Well, then they're not living in the real world.
I asked them both. Like, and then I asked them both for to think back to last Wednesday and ask them the same question, like the percentage of it happening again. And they both just looked at each other. And I said, no. And I said, it is going to happen again. I said, we're going to have a terrorist incident.
It's quite possible that it could happen again. I'm surprised that the guards would rule it out that it's not going to happen again, because we wouldn't have thought it would happen in the first place. Of course, there's a possibility.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Well, it is going to get worse. Of course it is. It's not going to get much better. When you have an increasing population, of course it's going to get worse. Statistically, it has to get worse.
Which is like, fair enough.
So, that's why I'm asking the question, Tony.
It's not going to happen again.
But we've avoided, as a country, arming the police force up to now, which is great. But maybe we're at a point now, like other countries, where we have rogue criminals on the streets, you know, with our increasing population. We have criminals on the streets who are willing to use guns and knives. So maybe it's time that we kind of have to do the same thing
it's
to keep
just
people
like
safe.
Last year, I was in Spain last year, and I was just during the World Cup, and England were playing. And if you'd have seen I think it was the Guardia Civil as a national.
Yep.
They were armed to the teeth. They were walking around in threes. And you just looked at them, and they were so intimidating. And you could see the England fans looking at them. There wasn't a single incident that night.
But isn't that the point I'm making? But you've just said you don't want to arm the guards. And you're actually making a good argument for arming them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I don't get me wrong. I, like everybody else, there's a large percentage of guards at this present moment in time that I wouldn't trust with a water pistol. Don't mind a gun. But in saying that, training would have to be given.
And there always will be a percentage. It doesn't matter how much you vet them. Yeah, because there's always going to be a percentage. But it's the same yesterday. It was swarmed in the city with police. And the money is there now. There's $4 billion been set aside for Ukrainian refugees next year.
I know.
$4 billion.
Mm-hmm. I know there's plenty. Money is never going to be the object at this moment of time in Ireland, because our economy is good. Let me go to Luke. Thank you, Tony. Let me go to Luke. Luke, hi, how are you?
Hello, boy, you all right?
Good. Luke, would you be in favour of arming the guards?
Only if the people are armed at the same time.
Only if the people are armed at the same time? So what would be the point of that? Why would you want the people armed?
Imagine, right? Okay, I'm a Brit. We'll get over that.
I'm past it already. Yeah, go on.
When was the right for us to bear arms removed?
A long, long time ago.
Yeah, about 100 years or so ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And didn't the rights, the Irish, to bear arms contribute to something magnificent?
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a much different society. We now live in a much more civilized society than we would have 200 years ago. You know, when two lads had an argument 200 years ago, it was, you know, gunfight at dawn. You know what I mean?
Niall, I'm talking about 100 years ago.
Mm. But what I'm saying is we live in a different society.
When the Irish quite rightly got the Brits out of Ireland, the Irish were armed. The people were.
Yeah, but we don't want to go back to civil war.
No, I'm not saying civil war. It wasn't civil war when you got the Brits out. Was it? No, and the Irish people were armed, and I half-heartedly agree with them for doing it.
Well, let's not go too much back into the history of Ireland. As much as I agree with you, I'm quite happy that we got the Brits out. Okay.
That is the closest facts we have to use of people having guns and the police, military having guns.
Okay, but as we stand at this present moment in time, in our constitution, we don't have a right to bear arms. Okay.
For the Irish people to live.
Okay, so we don't... Okay, let's get back to the original argument, Luke. We don't have a right to bear arms in this country at the moment. The civilians don't have a right to own a gun. Well, 202,000 people do have a license for a gun, and you can get a license for a gun in Ireland, by the way, for a firearm.
Yeah,
depending on what you need.
If
you want to shoot vermin, or you're a farmer, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you want to hunt. Vermin. Okay, so what I'm saying is there are 203,000 people in this country have a gun license. It's quite a substantial amount of people out of 5 million. It's a reasonable amount of people. I wouldn't like to live in a country where everybody was walking around with a gun in their pocket or in the boot of their car.
Would you not?
No, of course not. Why would I want to live in a society like that?
I would like to live around, I would like to walk in a country where I know that not only the criminals have guns and the people that are innocent are not allowed to carry a gun, a knife, pepper spray, or any form of self-defense.
But most people don't walk around without, have no weapons. Most people in this country... The population that are walking around the streets as we speak at the moment, 98% of them or 99% of them don't have a weapon in their pocket. So why do you feel we all need one?
Okay, so 2% of 5 million is what?
I don't know.
50,000, isn't it? That's 50,000 people walking around with a weapon in their pocket. That's
Maybe. I'm just making up that figure, by the way, Luke.
Oh, no, but yeah. But I'm just, it's objective.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's frightening. There are 50,000 people out there.
Who might have a knife or a gun, yeah.
With weapons in their pockets, and the rest of us are walking around.
But it served us well up to now, generally speaking. It served us well. Okay, but we now live in a more dangerous society. It's getting more dangerous. The question I'm asking is, should the police force be armed? Not should the citizens be armed?
Yeah, equal. The police are there to serve the people.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But if the police force is a political police force, which it seems to be at the moment, that is a very, very dangerous thing.
And so for that reason, you believe the citizens should be armed as well. Luke, stay there with me for a second. Let me go to Steve and Joan. I'll be with you straight away, straight after Steve. Steve, go ahead. Luke believes we all should be armed.
Well, I don't know about arming every single one of us, but what I will say, Niall, is that a gun is the great equaliser. Can you imagine a female cop walking down the streets of Dublin City Centre and a situation like what happened already with the knife attack happened again? You know, what is she going to do? She's not going to be able to do very much. The Brazilian guy who actually took over used a helmet as a way to, you know, knock the guy out.
Yeah.
As a weapon, yeah. No, so a weapon is necessary. Now, if you have a female cop coming down the street and she has a gun on her hip, she would be entitled to draw that gun and blow the head off of whoever is doing that. Now, as I said, it is a great equalizer. You have to imagine, you said at the start, which I was blown away with, 14-year-olds are allowed to apply for a gun license in this country, but highly trained guards who would have to go through rigorous training, psychological assessment, they wouldn't be trusted with guns? That says more about...
Luke believes that he wouldn't like to see a politicised Garda force, you know, using guns. I don't necessarily even know what he means by politicised. Yes, they work for the state.
Yeah, I think what he's getting at is the likes of the protests. Yeah, I think I understand what you're getting at, that guards will use their guns in the wrong situations to, you know, promote one side of an argument. But Niall, that's not going to happen.
No.
The guards are police over in America are heavily trained. And of course, you're going to get the bad eggs. You always will get bad eggs.
Yeah, absolutely.
in every force. I mean, we trust a surgeon with a knife when you're unconscious. Why can't we trust a heavily trained police officer?
But Luke is okay with the police officers having guns as long as all the citizens have them as well.
Well, I mean, it's a bit silly. Well, it's not terribly silly because I technically should have the right to have a firearm for defensive reasons. I should have that right. You know, because somebody could kick in my door at any stage. Ireland is, I mean, you only have to look at the two gay guys who were decapitated. I mean, who would have ever thought that they would come in Ireland? I never thought that. And if I'm in my home and a situation arose like that, do I not have the right to defend myself with a firearm? It's ridiculous that the government can say to me, no, Steve, you cannot defend yourself. You can pick up a stick and maybe bait somebody who's trying to decapitate you, but you can't pick up a legal gun.
So like Luke, you think we should be all walking around like John Wayne in The Big Picture,
No, absolutely.
That's what Luke wants.
No, hold on a second.
That's what you're saying, Luke. You said we should all be armed.
No, I'm not really saying we all walk around like John Wayne, get off your horse and drink your milk.
Come on, do you know how difficult it actually is to get...
I'm not being a shock jock. You're the one who said it, not me. I wouldn't want people walking around with guns.
We should have the right to bear arms.
We should have the right to bear arms. That's what you said,
Everybody is under the illusion...
that it's difficult to get a firearm, that it's easy to get a firearm in the United States. It is not that easy whatsoever. I'm a big fan of Stephen Crowder.
It's a lot easier than it is here. But go on, yeah.
Yeah, and he showed how difficult it was to actually get a firearm.
Depends on which state you're in, by the way. If you walk into a shop like Walmart, for example, people go,
yeah,
oh, you can go into Walmart and buy a gun. It's not that easy. You're right. You have to have your identification. It takes 24 hours to get clearance to make sure you don't have a criminal record and you're psychologically assessed. Because if you've had a mental health problem or been to a doctor with a mental health problem, they won't give you a gun. But here's the thing, Steve. You can walk into any flea market in most states in America and buy a gun.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. They sell them illegally in most places. They sell them illegally regularly. That's the biggest
illegally,
problem.
Illegally, of course.
Yeah. Illegally,
of course. You can sell drugs illegally.
Yes.
But you're not, obviously, you don't sell legal firearms in a flea market. That's a ridiculous notion.
They sell illegal firearms in flea markets. But anyway, back to the point. We're not in America. Stay there for a second, Steve. Let me go to Joan. Joan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, Joan. Steve believes, yes, why not? If a 14-year-old can apply for a gun licence in Ireland, which they can, why not give it to the guards?
So I absolutely would completely disagree with the Garda being armed. There's enough of them with guns as it is. Lately, the tensions are so high with the Garda at the moment, I would be fearful for what they would do. Because they voted in, as you said, a vote of no confidence. They're not happy in their jobs. They're all afraid. So imagine somebody in fear having a gun, somebody comes at them, especially the young to the force. And I know you're saying that they would have to be trained, but there's an awful lot of Garda out there on the streets that are way out of shape. So if somebody was to go to them to take the gun off them, it'd be very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's no Garda fit. And you're talking about the over in Spain, the Garda Civil and all that. They all have to pass a fitness test to be fit enough to kind of carry a gun. And the Garda that's on the streets at the minute, absolutely no way.
But I don't think anybody's saying give the guards who was on the streets at the moment, these overweight guys and who can't run after a criminal in the first place, don't give them a gun. But John, I'll ask you a question. Do you think it's okay to arm the defence forces, as in the army? Is it okay for us to send our guys over to places like the Lebanon with firearms?
But no, I don't. I don't think that we should be leaving Ireland anyway at the moment, because Ireland needs the army here. The country is in an awful state. The crime rates are up and everything. I think that the army should be here. But the army, when you join the army, you know that you're getting a gun and that your job is your job, and that's what it is. But the guards.
Okay, and why can't that be the same for the guards?
Because, Steve, in fairness to Joan, when you join the army, you know, I mean, the army, obviously, the main training is to use a firearm. Because I know I was in the FCA many years ago, not quite the same thing, but you're trained to use a firearm. You're trained not only to use it, to take it apart, to clean it, to maintain it, to look after it.
We have to start somewhere. Start training them now. Here's the thing, Niall. Let's say you were a woman. Would you join the guards as a woman, knowing the amount of violent criminals that are on the street now, and you get a call on your radio that something mental is going on around the corner, or even a guy, you get something mental that's going on around the corner, some attack is happening. You don't want to run around there, as you said, with what, the skin on your fist? That's it. But if you have a gun, you will run around and protect the citizens of this country. Let's not forget that's what the idea of arming the guards is to protect us.
What about the guy who was just on there who has family in the Garda? And he said, the Garda don't want the guns. The Garda don't want the guns. And then the safes. And as you said, Niall, it's not about money. It's about, like, the Garda don't want the guns. Like, that's it.
He's speaking for a very...
You have a mistake.
He's speaking for a handful of people.
And that's it. I disagree with you there. I disagree with you there. Well, I don't think Garda you... wants...
The reason why you're disagreeing with me, the reason why you're disagreeing with me is because that diddly-doo, where's me shillelagh, Bigaira, Ireland, those days have gone. They have surpassed us. And now we're in a very dangerous phase. And if we don't take action now, more people will be hurt. And people like you, I promise you, in a year's time, will be coming on shows like this saying, give the guards guns. There's people being killed left, right and centre. We've no choice.
Well, no, Train them now. You're wrong about that. And I think enough Garda have guns. Enough Garda have guns.
Not enough.
Have guns. And the drug squad have guns. So they don't need... The Joe Soap on the street doesn't need a gun. Not
why do people? Why do people not want to be guards anymore? Why do people not want to be guards anymore? They're underpaid and it's a dangerous job. I wouldn't, my arse, want to be a police officer, not with the crime.
Yeah, but they don't want to be guards anymore because they're not standing on their own. They're working. They're not for the people.
Oh, would you stop?
They're working for the government.
Would you stop? See,
no,
that's where your problem is.
No, I won't stop.
That's where you. That is exactly where your problem is. You're going to mistrust the entire Garda force because you think they work for somebody else.
If you're going against me on this, you need to open your eyes, sweetheart. You need to open
your
eyes.
And you need to. Have you seen Inside the Cage?
At the moment, are you joking me?
Have you seen the documentary Inside the K? Yes or no? Have you seen that documentary?
Yes. So did you see? So
okay. Did you see?
There was a vigil last night in Eastwall, and the Garda had the EOU were pushing pregnant women around. So if they had a gun,
pushing, not shooting. They pushing,
but
and guards do that already.
Pocket. Well, what if he had...
I'm going to sit in the middle here between both of you, and I'm going to say, Steve, I've seen instances, Steve, recently. Now, don't get me wrong, some of the protesters, I believe, not all of them, by the way, most of them are genuinely concerned citizens, but some of them haven't got a brain in their head, right? But in saying that, I have seen people being arrested who didn't deserve to be arrested, you know, who were manhandled and didn't deserve to be manhandled. I've seen people have their right to protest denied. Mm-hmm. And they have a constitutional right. You have a constitutional right to stand outside. Say if there's a minister for whatever it is in a building giving a speech and you want to go there and you want to protest with a few of your mates outside. You've an absolute right to do that. As long as you don't obstruct or impede, as long as you don't abuse, as long as you don't physically assault, you've an absolute right to protest, or as they say, for peaceful assembly. But that right has been more recently been taken away from a lot of people. And that's wrong.
100%.
That is wrong, Steve.
Hold on a second. What in the name of Christ has anything you just said there got to do with arming the guards?
The point that Joan is making is that that policing to some degree has been politicised.
Some degree, and it always has.
The police force, the job of the police force in any situation, particularly in the situation of a protest, is to keep the peace. That's their job. Their job is not to work for the state. But they do work for the state, mind you, but their job is not to work on behalf of the state. So their job is to keep the police.
Drive up now around Dáil Éireann, they have steel barriers all around Dáil Éireann. A government who barricades themselves away from the people know they're doing wrong.
Well, they don't have them there at the moment, but they did have them there on the day they returned the dog.
Well, yeah.
Niall, I think everybody can see...
Why would the government barricade themselves?
But we can see through the smoke and mirrors. We can see what the government doing. This is not about that. This is...
I have to go to Conor and Lisa before I finish, but you look at what's happened since last Thursday night. Now, again, no matter what side of the debate you were on, say, in relation to, for example, immigration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those people that set fire to Lewis's and buses and trains and whatever else and looted shops, They're not on any side of any debate. They're just scumbags. Right?
Niall, here's the thing.
What happened straight after that is that debate became politicized. In other words,
I understand that, Niall.
The people on the right side of the debate who want to see, you know, some controls over immigration, the government turned around and went, they're your fault. You're responsible.
No,
they blamed all those people. They said, you right-wing people, they're your responsibility.
Please.
I'm centre-right. They're not my responsibility. They're assholes.
We already trust the guards at the moment with the biggest of things that we can, with rape, with murder, with our safety and our concerns.
Absolutely.
We trust them, and the guards do, and most of the times, the guards do a wonderful job. I know a guard who was called out there recently to a COT debt. They have to deal with stuff like this all the time. They do a wonderful bloody job.
And I'm not disagreeing with you.
We're sending them out unarmed against scumbags.
Okay, but stay there for a second. I need to go to Lisa and Connor. Lisa first, very quickly, if I can. Lisa, hi. Sorry for keeping everybody so long today. Sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Well, do you believe we should arm the guards?
No, absolutely not. I think the psychological profile and recruitment and training of the current guards are there. We're never people that were choosing to do a job that was going to be armed. It's a particular psychology that's able to hold a gun and use it, because if somebody is not able to do that and is not the type of person that is able and is trained to do that, well, then that gun is actually more dangerous in their hand than if they didn't have it, number one. And second of all, I don't think anything that is reactive to the situations at the moment, rather than looking at the foundations of the problem with crime increase, etc., is going to help. But I absolutely do not think, when you look at the Gardaí out there, that putting a gun in somebody's hand that has not got the proper training or psychological profile, and who joined a job when there was no weapons there. And Michael Staines set up on Garda Síochána Corner back in, 1922, and we're supposed to be preventative. But unfortunately, the Gardaí are not able to be keepers of peace, because the government keep pouring oil onto situations, and with their media, who is now just the government mouthpiece, who are the WEF mouthpiece, they're inflaming everything. So you've got a front line of Gardaí who, if you were to train them to become efficient, train them in contract law, so they don't have to go to their sergeant or their KIG or their Windy, whoever up the top, that they can go directly to the principal, which is through Harris, and say, we have signed a note, we have signed a contract, you're asking us to act as corporate enforcers, breaking our oath, and write directly to him and get him to respond independently in writing. That's what Garda Síochána need to do, because the current system doesn't allow them even to escalate a concern.
Getting back to the original point in relation to arming the guards, I get the point that you're making, and I'm going to make that to Steve. Steve, you've already got a Garda force of 14,500, I said 13 earlier on, but 14,500 people who were signed up without a psychological assessment, without training to use a gun, went into the force knowing they didn't have to use a gun, and now you're saying, oh, we'd like you to use a gun. That could be a problem for them, firstly, on a psychological way. I mean, for those individual guards who may not want to use one because they signed up not to use one. And for those who do agree to use it, you know, they may not pass a psychological test. They may not be. I mean, I've met guards, absolutely most of them are perfectly fine, good, honourable people who want to do a good job. But I've met guards, I said to you earlier on, I wouldn't trust them with a water pistol.
If they do not pass the psychological assessment, or if they cannot handle a gun, you do not give them a gun. We want a more robust, rugged police force in this country. We only want people who can handle weapons responsibly, not the idiots that we have in the first place.
Well, I think you're going to get them more robust, because it seems that they're going to have to start recruiting from a lot of the men who have been brought into this country, because they can't recruit Gardaí, and that's a whole different psychological profile that's coming in as well. But I absolutely don't think we should be putting weapons in the front line to guards who don't even know how to use their contract to protect themselves and their oath. And the
nobody's saying that.
But Lisa, how do we move forward then when we're seeing a change in the country? And at the moment, there seems nothing we can do about that. An increase of population, a change in the country, and we're seeing, random crimes committed more often. People say they don't feel safe. I don't know whether they are safe or whether they're not safe, but they're saying they don't feel safe. And if they don't feel safe, they don't feel safe. That's just the way it is. So we have to change the way we police.
Well, there's two things we're going to have to do first. People are going to have to realise that the hate speech laws are actually going to stop people being able to speak out about anything. because unless you start a sentence with, I love the way Leo Varadkar is an absolute World Economic Forum, unless you understand how to use language so you can argue that it's not hate speech. But what's actually happening is they're going to put a bound on people's mouths, and the media, who are only a government mouthpiece at the moment.
Okay, you've said all that, Lisa. I want to just focus on what we're talking about. I understand. Yeah. I understand all that other stuff, and I mentioned the hate speech laws earlier on, and we will be talking about those in more detail during the week. You're right. The hate speech laws are not going to stop somebody setting a Lewis on fire. But in saying that, getting back to arming the guards, we do live in a more dangerous society. It is going to become more dangerous. There's no doubt about that. So,
well,
you know,
if the Gardaí are listening. Okay, what I would say, this is how you handle it. Go and study contract law, write direct letters. If you are one of the guards that are saying, sure, what can I do? I'm only a guard. You have a contract, which is very powerful, and you have an oath. If you know how to write a letter directly to Drew Harris and the CC, the Minister of Justice, and the stuff that we're hearing when we talk to guards on the side of the street, through COVID, through everything, they're telling us their problems, but they feel that they are completely disempowered. So I'd say to the Gardaí, there's 14,500 of you. There must be at least 100 or 1,000 of you that actually are disgusted with what's going on in the country and concerned about your children. Go and write directly to Drew Harris a contract letter questioning your oath and asking him why, and be specific about the problems that they know are going on. So we need the Gardaí themselves to step forward.
Okay, well, in fairness to them, they did. The GRA recently, 98.7% of them said they had no faith in Drew Harris in the first place, so he has to go anyway. Lisa, thank you for that. Connor, finally, I have to wrap it up. I'm going way over time today. Connor, hi, how are you?
How are you doing? No, previously we had a Garda service, let's just say, and unfortunately, incrementally, it has to be changed to a Garda force. I'm not saying hand them all guns tomorrow, but I mean, that's just reality of it. I mean, the government and, you know, our country's totally changed, particularly the past 10 years, and fortunately, guards have to change with them. And As the gentleman earlier was saying, the diddly diddly Ireland's gone, and that's it, you know.
But
I don't know.
But you heard Joan there. She doesn't. Well, I get the impression she doesn't trust the force to be armed. Not at this moment in time.
No, I don't. 100%, I don't. Not at the moment. And they've proved that with batons and with their the barriers by hitting people with them. So if they can't be trusted to even use them, I mean, they're standing. People are on the streets and they're standing with the batons. And the baton's out ready for action, like, and unprovoked. So no, I 100% wouldn't trust them with a gun.
Okay, but what's the solution then? Hello?
There's enough Garda with guns. DRU have guns.
Okay.
But the joke soaps, all the Garda that are on the streets with batons, I would not trust them with guns, would you?
They are saying 98% of them are saying that they're unhappy. I mean, and it's surely an internal thing with the guards. And
well,
I
believe that the guards are unhappy with the way they're being made to work and what they have to do for their job at the moment, as in going around protecting, like they're like the private police force for the government. They're supposed to protect the people, but they're not protecting the people. They're beating the people with batons. They're hitting pregnant women. They're the ones who are riling everybody up. You can blow away. You can all you like.
No.
That's a fact.
But they're not hitting.
Are they not hitting pregnant women with batons? Are they not hitting people for no reason on the streets? Are they not shoving people
every day?
Sorry.
No. Absolutely. No, they aren't. I mean, every day. Up until last week, where guards going around battering people and pushing pregnant women. No?
At all the protests, the guards have got, as each protest has gone on, the guards have got heavier handed. And it's clear as day now that you're not allowed free speech. You're not allowed to say things, you're not allowed to do things, you're not allowed to protest. They're not working for their people. They're working for their government. Their oath is for their people.
Unfortunately.
They sign a contract to protect the people. They're not protecting
Our people have totally changed. Our country's totally changed. Like, you know, Garda Service, community, it's gone. Exactly. And I mean, and unfortunately, maybe that's our fault, that's the government's fault, that's the WEF or whatever you want to
blame. Whoever you want to blame for it,
our country has changed.
Yeah.
Our country has changed. And the guards have changed with them. Now, with our country, unfortunately. It's really sad, though.
Okay, well, on that note, sorry, Conor, I'm going to have to cut you a bit short there. Thank you very much indeed, Joan, as well. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. So many people, by the way, I could have filled the show for another hour or so with people who have an opinion on it. I'm going to say the vast majority of people were not in favour of arming the guards today. The vast majority of people who called in were not in favour. The vast majority of people who voted on Twitter were not in favour of arming the guards. Maybe there's this kind of, we would like to see the Ireland of the past being back again. Unfortunately, we live in a very different Ireland now. An Ireland where people are randomly killed on the streets, where people sadly are mutilated, where people are sadly involved in violent crimes or the victim of violent crimes. It's a different Ireland. We're not dancing at the crossroads back in the 1960s anymore, where people would just punch each other in the street and that's as far as it usually went. It is a more dangerous society. We have a bigger population. We have a much more diverse population of different people from different cultures. I'm not suggesting it's one person or one culture alone that's responsible for the crime, because it's not. But it is going to become more dangerous. So for that reason, maybe it's something we should consider in the future. Maybe not right now. Okay, I don't want to be reactive. I'm not like the government. I don't want to be reactive. The government's reaction to everything is to change things and change the wrong things. And we've all seen that. We're now on a global stage across the world. They're talking about us in the Washington Post, on CNN, on Fox News. Tucker Carlson has even dedicated a whole show to Ireland about our hate speech laws. Stephen Crowder has dedicated a show to Ireland. I won't tell you what he referred to as the Irish Prime Minister, or Taoiseach, or Prime Minister as he calls it, Taoiseach as. Every show across the world is talking about Ireland. And they're also talking about the reaction of the Irish government to bring in hate speech laws to stop what happened last Thursday. To bring in hate speech laws to stop people talking about immigration. To bring in hate speech laws to stop people talking about LGBT issues. In other words, you're not allowed to have an opinion anymore if it upsets somebody else. That's probably what it's going to be. They want to silence people. That's not the way we should be reacting to what happened last Thursday night, because no matter what side of the argument you happen to be on when it comes to immigration, when it comes to LGBT, when it comes to any of these things, nobody condones bad behaviour or violent behaviour. Nobody on either side of the argument. So bringing in those hate speech laws, which we already have, by the way, we already have incitement to hatred laws. For example, the government will quote that social media mobilised last Thursday afternoon. In other words, there were individuals who went online and said, everybody go into town and burn the place down. That's already illegal. Setting fire to a Lewis is already illegal. Assaulting a guard is already illegal. The laws are already there. It's just a matter of implementing them laws. Bringing in other laws for people who might turn around and say something like, I really think we're going wrong when it comes to immigration. We need to control it better. That shouldn't be against the law, but it could become against the law, because that in itself might be hatred. Somebody goes, oh God, you just said hurty words there. You said that we shouldn't let immigrants into the country. Oh my God, that's hurtful. I think that's hate speech. I'm bringing you to court. The fact that you might want to go to a protest and that protest may be seen as anti-immigration. You should be allowed to do that. Whether people believe it's nice or it's right or wrong is irrelevant. You should be allowed to do it. But you might have a poster in the back of your car saying stop immigration. The guards stop you and arrest you. Oh, that's hate speech. Can't do that. I'm arresting you. And I'm also going to go to your house and take all your phones and your devices. Oh, look what I found in your phone. But I didn't post it anywhere. It doesn't matter. It was on your phone. You're in possession of it. It doesn't matter whether you used it or not. Because according to this new law now, you could be jailed for that too. What sort of country do we really want to live in? Do we want to live in a country where you're free to express yourself like we've always been? Or a country where you're terrified to open your mouth to disagree with your own government? Because that's what the government would love. They would love if you never disagreed with them. Because let's be clear about it. We've got three main political parties in this country who all agree with each other. We've never been in that situation before in this country. It's a dangerous situation to be in. And now they want to bring in laws so you won't be able to disagree with them. And we're being laughed at around the world by some of the biggest names in the world who think we're ridiculous. We need to publicly come out. Leo Varadkar needs to publicly come out and say they've made a mistake with these hate speech laws. And to react to a tragedy that happened last week and a riot that happened last week with, I think we should bring in hate speech laws, is ridiculous. We should push forward with the hate speech laws. Is that the best we can come up with? Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, probably one of the most powerful men in the world when it comes to social media, has condemned Ireland. He actually went as far as to say that Leo Varadkar hates the Irish people. Now, of course, Leo Varadkar would disagree with that and say that he doesn't hate the Irish people. But obviously that's the way he feels and the way it comes across globally. Of course, we have the Israeli ambassador, or should I say the Israeli prime minister, pulled in the Irish ambassador in Israel over the words Leo Varadkar used on social media the other day, saying somebody had been lost and now found, when clearly the person was arrested by or was captured by terrorists and kept hostage. I mean, we are living in a very strange world at the moment where the Irish government, as far as I'm concerned, have way too much power because they have three political parties and they all agree with each other. We've never been in that situation before. It's a very dangerous situation for democracy. The political parties are entitled to have whatever views they want, as long as somebody's opposing it. But nobody's really opposing it anymore. We have a Minister for Justice who needs to resign. We have a police commissioner or chief commissioner who needs to resign. We have a lot of people who should resign, who need to resign in this country. The whole lot of them. They're all useless. But that's entirely up to you. You are the people. That's what happens when the next election comes. Best thing you could do is not vote for any of them. Vote for your favourite independent. That would put them in their place. When the ballot paper comes around and you see Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, the Green Party and Labour Party, don't vote for any of them. Vote for your favourite independent. That could put them in their place once and for all. But that's not going to happen. Because traditionally what you'll do is, oh, I've always voted for Fianna Fáil. Let me just see which is the best out of the bad bunch. I've always voted for Fine Gael. Ah, sure, might as well just give Leo a vote there. Sure, yeah, he's useless, but sure, hey, it'd be better than him, wouldn't it? That's what you do in every election. You need to stop doing that. And you need to stand up against hate speech laws. We don't need them. They're unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. I said we've laws since 1989 for incitement to hatred and violence in this country. Maybe need to be updated slightly to include social media, but it's already illegal to incite violence. We don't need a law against hatred because hatred is not definable. There's no law. It shouldn't be against the law to have an emotion. If I want to hate somebody, I can hate them. Like previous caller that was on the air, Joan. I don't hate her, obviously. But if I want to hate her, I can. I should be allowed to hate her. It's just an emotion. I don't hate that many people, by the way. But I should be allowed to hate people. It's just an emotion. An emotion shouldn't be illegal. What? We bring in next that you can't love somebody as well? That's another emotion. And we're going to make emotions illegal? What a strange country we live in. Anyway, thanks to our Minister for Justice. Hopefully she'll resign. And then that law will be just ditched like every other silly law that she might have brought in as well. Some good ones there too, but there's some silly ones. I'll be back again with you tomorrow. We do want you to support us. We've just added a donate page because people have said to us, look, you know, if I can subscribe, Noel, and I don't have the money to give you every month, can I just do it on a once-off? Absolutely. You can go to our website and just click on the donate page. If you want to donate a fiver or if you want to donate 500, I'd really appreciate it because I'm going to say this again. There's three of us work on this show. Nearly 2 hours today. Three of us have full-time jobs as well, by the way, that we have to keep because this show doesn't pay a wage. This show, what we get from subscriptions, which is not an awful lot, thank you to everybody who has subscribed, just about covers the bills for the electricity, for the internet, for everything else. And as you imagine, we need really good internet to provide this type of show on a platform like this. So please, I would ask you to support us. We want to keep doing it. And not only do we want to keep doing it, we want to make it better. We want to make it better quality. We want to do it more often. We want to do it for longer every day. We want to do more topics every single day. We'd love to do it at the weekends. But we couldn't. We couldn't afford to do that. Because we have our own jobs to do as well. And time is money, as you well know. Time is expensive. So please support us so we can provide this platform for you. It's getting more popular. We looked at a graph this morning of our downloads and it's just like that. It's great and thank you very much for supporting us. But unfortunately, you downloading it all the time and listening to it is not going to provide us with any finances to keep it going. So we need your help. So please do support us. Go to our website now. If you can subscribe every month, it's like just buying me a pint of beer. For that, you get to see a lot of interviews, which we don't stream live. They're all in the video section on the website. To watch those, you have to subscribe. You can listen to the show for free. You can even watch the show for free during the day. But there are other interviews we've done. Dr. Owen Linehan, for example, who we interviewed last week, that's on our website. You can watch that interview on the website now. You won't be able to see it because it's not streamed anywhere. So please do support us. $5.99 a month, the price of a pint of beer between the three of us. We're getting a third of a pint each, a sip, a swig out of it each. That's all we're asking you for. I would really appreciate it if you do it because it would help us so much. We want to keep doing this. I have a real passion for it. The three of us have. And we want to keep doing it. So $5.99 a month, if you can't do that, even just give us a fiver. Just go to the website and click the donate button and you can give a once-off payment. You don't get anything for that apart from the satisfaction of knowing that you've helped and supported us. We would really appreciate it. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't say, look, I'll do it later. Please just do it now. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Click on the subscription if you can afford the $5.99 a month. If you can't, click on the donate page. You'll see the donate page and click the donate button and you can donate whatever you want. If you're very wealthy and you're listening out there and you like what we do and you want to help us, you can donate more than that if you want to. We'd really, really appreciate it. Just click on the donate page, select the amount of money you want, a fiver or 500, whatever. Thank you very much. We've avoided advertising, as you can see. You don't see advertising banners. And the reason we've avoided that, by the way, there's nothing we can do about the ads that go on Spotify. That's not our doing. But we've avoided advertising on the show because we don't want to be in a situation, we might have to, but we don't want to be in a situation where we have an advertiser going, oh, I don't know, I don't like the show you did the other day, I don't want my brand attached to that. And because that's what happens in radio or TV or whatever it is. Advertisers make decisions because they don't want their brand attached to certain things. So we don't want to go down that route. We might have to. Please help us not to go down that route. We don't want anybody to be in control of the show apart from us. We're the ones who decide what we talk about. You're the ones who decide what we talk about. So please, please support us. Go to the website, nileboylan.com, and click on subscription, and you pay monthly. You can do it yearly or monthly, or you can go to donate. You can go for a once-off payment. As I said, you don't get anything for the donate apart from knowing that you've supported us. You can just click a fiver if you want us. And don't forget, if you do donate or you do subscribe, once a day, we give away a smog mug. That's them there on the screen. So somebody will get one of those once a day. Kathleen, yours is on the way, by the way, because I know you were on looking for it. So it's on the way. You should be getting it the next few days. Thank you to everybody, by the way, who's subscribed, everybody who's donated, everybody who gets involved in the show. And even if you can't subscribe or donate and you don't have a huge amount of money, that's fine too. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And please, if the one thing you can take away from this today is share it with your friends. Tell your friends about the show. Share a link. And show your friends the show and say, look at this, it's really good. You should watch it. Thank you very much indeed. We'll be back again tomorrow at 12. Although, if we keep going, it'll be 12 by the time we get there. We'll be back again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day. Thanks very much.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.